Blog Talk Radio.
Now, have you ever considered being a squirrel? Hello, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Bizarro UK you're listening to. We're in the UK. It's very bizarre. The UK in general is bizarre. And we've got a special guest with us today. Oh, by the way, not there. I've got with me in the studio, or in America, but he may as well be sat on my lap because he's coming through loud and clear. It's Mr. Armand Rosa. Is it Armand or Armand?
Armand.
I should have checked that before.
But with your accent, you're right.
I should have checked that. That's how should have gone. But we've just been 10 minutes before
just,
the show.
We just
bullshit. I don't even know how to pronounce it. Now. In my head, I was like, before it starts, ask, is it Armand? Is the emphasis on the second part? So it's Armand Rasmussen. Welcome to the show, Armand.
Thanks. It's great to finally hear your voice after we've known each other for quite some time.
We have. Over the last few years, we've been in a few books together, and we've been back and forth, but we've never actually spoken.
No.
That's crazy. So I thought it would be good to chat with you, and you were willing to come on, which was also a good thing. So yeah. We're here talking for the next 60 minutes or so about various things, starting with tell us a bit about yourself. Just a elevator pitch.
I am originally from born and bred in New Jersey, moved down to sunny Florida about a dozen years ago. The last 4 or 5 years, I've been a full-time author, mostly zombie stuff. I do contemporary fiction, thrillers, erotica under a pen name. Pretty much, I've written a military romance as a ghostwriter. I just basically write whatever I feel like writing, which is good. What else I do? Every year I do 2 different tours, which will be coming up. In June, Summer of Zombie Tour, blog tour with zombie authors. It's my way of giving back to the community. Hopefully a lot of readers will get involved and find some new zombie authors. I do that every year. And in November, I do the Winter Zombie Tour, which is a little bit of a smaller tour. I've done Authors Supporting Our Troops, which collects author-signed books from the authors themselves, and I ship them to soldiers overseas in remote areas. This is my second full year of doing that. Just got married a couple weeks ago, which is pretty cool. Wow, you even have sound effects on this.
It took me like 2 seconds to find it as well. It's so professional. That wasn't actually a sound effect. I've actually got people lined up behind me.
Nice.
Just in case somebody says, most times they go, oh, I'm in. But luckily, tonight, they get to use it. So yeah, you recently got married. Wow.
Yeah. It was, two years of dating and finally finding somebody that understood, maybe not understood what a writer was or my mindset, but understood that I was a creative person and I needed to do my thing. And she let me do my thing and 100% support. And she's a commercial property manager, so she knows spreadsheets and all the business parts of things and everything else.
That's
so
useful.
I would just kind of throw stuff up against the wall. Like I did a book signing yesterday for Free Comic Book Day, and people would come up and go, "Do you take credit cards?" And I'm like, "Sure." And they hand it to Kirk, and I look at her. Okay, you. I don't know how to use it. Here's my phone. I want to swear. And, you know, people would hand me money, and I'd hand it right to her. I'm like, "Here." And at the end of the day, she'll say, "Okay, you sold X number of books, or we made this X number of money." And I'm like, "Okay, I never kept track."
That's it. I mean, anybody who marries a writer or a creative person deserves their own round of applause, really. Right, so we're going to kick off with how you first started writing, how you got into the writing game.
Well, it was... I first really got interested when I was about 12. Dean Koontz books were for me. You know, everybody always says it's either Stephen King or Dean Koontz. For me, it was Dean Koontz. And I wanted to be a writer, you know, ever since. And literally, I think like 7th grade, 8th grade, we had to do a project. What do you want to be when you grow up? And everybody was saying police officer and fireman and all that other crap. And my thing was I wanted to be an author. And that was it. So it took me a long time. I did retail management for 20 years and hated every day of it. And about the last 4 years, like I said, I've been a full-time author. But I was glad I did all those years of all those horrible, horrible jobs and stuff, because now I get to kill all of those asshole customers and people I work with and management and everything else and all my stories now. So it definitely helped.
Yeah, I think when you need that bit of experience. I mean, like I say, I was a welder for 20 years and then got into writing. Well, 20 years, 12 years, and then got into writing. And then you've got that little bit of life experience to be able to kill everybody who you used to know. So,
yeah, well, I think you need that as a musician too. I mean, I'm not a musician, but I'm a big heavy metal fan, and I've worked and managed bands in the past. And you know, it's that life experience, good and bad, that really makes you into the person and creatively that you can find that. You know, it kills me when I see these teenagers, you know, like the Justin Bieber type of thing, and all these songs, and I'm like, you have nothing to do with any of these songs. You have not lived or related to any of this.
Yeah. Because you didn't write the fucking thing.
there's the other aspect.
What's your process like? Do you plot or anything, or break in balls to the waters?
I try to, every day I try to have some kind of schedule if possible. And other things throw me off. Like yesterday, I didn't write at all because I had a book signing in another town. I met a bunch of people. I went to dinner with people, so I didn't get home till late. but normally on my normal day, Friday, I'll get up about 8 o'clock. And by 9 o'clock, I was writing. So from 8 to 9, coffee's being done, emails are being done, all that. I do a 2,000 word a day is my goal. Anything over that is excellent, but I try to do 5 days a week, 2,000. So if I can hit 10,000 words a week, I can do over 5,000 words for the year. That's always my goal.
Yeah.
Is and of course, then, you know, like I got married and I went on a honeymoon, so I lost like 9 or 10 days there that I didn't. I'm going to World Horror next weekend, so I'll lose, you know, 3 or 4 days there with that. So I panic a little bit and I try to write more on other days, but definitely a creature of habit. I like to do my emails at a certain time, and at 12 o'clock I try to stop and get lunch, and I'll see you between 2 and 3. I'll do some podcasting stuff. So I try to do all that, and my goal is always to work until about 5, 6 talk when she gets home. But what's cool, she'll understand if I have more to do, you know, so she'll,
if you're burning out,
you know, we 7:30, 8:00 at night anyway, so she'll call me or send me a text me. Are you hungry? You want to eat early? Whatever, and I'll just say, I'm right in the middle of finishing up. I'm very blessed because most of what I'm writing is being published, and I'm being invited to more anthologies and projects than I can, you know, really do. That, you know, right now I have 11 projects up on my board that I'm working on. So
that's pretty good. I saw Brian Keane put a photograph of his board up not long ago, and that's nice to have like more invites. I think once you sort of establish yourself as you, and you get more invites as opposed to chasing work. I think that's a nice place to be, which is obviously where you are if you've got 11 projects.
It's a cool thing because I don't have to, and I still look from time to time and see what's up in there, or if somebody else mentions, hey, I'm doing this, you know, this cool project, I still like to well do, but I'm at a point now, I think, where I don't have to chase. I don't have to go, I need to make money here.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, I mean, that's the fun of it, is I can pick and choose some of those projects. And most of the stuff that they're sending me, they're paying something.
Yeah.
Which is nice. And I think long term, okay, this anthology might only be paying, you know, $20 or whatever it is, but it's a whole new crowd for me. Or they'll say, hey, certain guys are going to be in this one. And I say, hey, I would,
I think we've lost and gone there a second. We've lost Starman there. So we'll just, while we're trying to get that call back. I apologize for this. That's how professional I am. Are you there?
I'm here now, yeah.
Awesome. See, there's no problem. There's no problem.
As long as one of us kept talking, then we're good.
I sort of kept starting. I was looking for something to sort of play over the... I've got some adverts just in case, but I'll chat to you if I'm being honest. We apologize. The Dying Day series. Obviously, you know, this is what you spent most of your writing up to now doing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of if you've never read the Dying Day series, there's plenty of you to for you to catch up on. So do you want to tell everyone a little bit about the Dying Day series?
Well, it's my zombie series. I started it. The predecessor to an extreme zombie novella called Hyde that I had written and submitted to Comet Press, you know, several years ago. They didn't accept it, so I rewrote it a little bit, and I said, "Let me self-publish it." So I have a zombie book, and I can go on to something else. And 5 years later, I'm still writing zombie books. I still have more to say, and every time I think, "Okay, this will be the last one, or this will be the last story," I get a bunch of new fans, and they love it, and they want to know more. So for me, that's really cool. Middle of June, Dying Days 5 will be out, and I've continued the main story of Darlene Bobbitt in those books, but I've also put out other books, Dying Days Origins, which has 2 books so far, bring a Highway to Hell sequel now. There's Still Dying, which is a short story set in the world. And the second book of that had authors actually work in my world, which is really cool. So as long as I keep having a disc for it, and as long as the readers wanting to get it, I broke about 100 pre-sales on it so far, which I was absolutely amazed. I thought, okay, if I can get 20 or 30 people that are interested in this.
Yeah.
And I looked this morning and I broke 100 and I was like, wow, you know. Because to me, that's 100 people are going, okay, I can't wait for this to come out. And, you know, it's fun.
That just shows as well. I mean, even though you know, the zombie sort of genre has become, I don't know, there are a lot more people watching now than there were,
yeah.
you know, 10 years ago. It just shows that how big the market is still for it.
Yeah.
I mean, my own zombie series, it's still and remains my best-selling stuff.
And that's all. And all of us. I mean, we can all say that. I mean, I like I said, I do this summer zombie tour coming up in June, and I have 30 to 35 authors. And I now have over 80 authors on top of that that want to be alternates in case somebody drops out.
Yeah.
And 4 years ago, when I did the first one, it was like 6 of us.
You know, I remember.
I could do a tour with like 100 of us, but. The readers are it's a small group, but it's that rabid readership
yeah.
that reads all of us, you know, which is awesome.
Let's see, I think there's still got a lot of legs left at the moment.
Yeah.
I wanted to mention, recently handed the baton, or in case, Rimfire Books and the State of Horror series, to Jerry Benz. How did that come about, and was it a nice and easy transaction, so to speak?
Well, what happened was I had also done the State of Horror series, and I think I put out like 9 of them. And as I was writing more and more of my own stuff, and especially as Dying Days grew so big, that stuff got pushed off to the side, and publishing became more of a chore to me. It was something that I had a hard time doing.
Yeah.
And Jerry started reading them. I mean, he was just a reader, and he was looking to put together his own publishing company. And he came to me, and the original idea was, I'll help you to continue this series. He wanted to revamp it and all this. And after talking to him for months and months, and I said to myself, it was like a conversation going back and forth on the phone, and I just said to him, make an offer. And he said, well, I said, dude, you are serious, and you have such a passion to put these books out and some of the other anthologies that have just been sitting on the side for so long. I said, make me a halfway decent offer, and you can have them, you know?
<Yeah.
laughs> And that's what happened. And he found Karen Coin Press, and he has out, I think, 4 or 5 of them so far. And he'll have some of the anthologies that I've put out in the past years ago, and he totally revamps them. New covers, added new stories, re-edits everything, and great marketing plan in place and everything else. And I've been ecstatic to see the running to him at different conventions, and he always holds and he gives me those. And that's the coolest part, is to have the physical of the books. And the neat part is with the State of Horror series is every one of them, there'll be 13 stories. The stories is going to be a brand new 9-day story set in that. So for me, that was a real fun part of it too, because then it helps me. I get to get the Dying Days stories out there, and I've gotten a ton of fans who have read it and then look me up and go, "Oh my God, I can't believe you have, you know, 10 books out in this series. I can't believe you have so many releases and stuff." So it's grabbing a brand new readership for me as well.
If somebody like up on one of your stories, they will then go back and look at
yeah.
That's always nice. So was it wasn't a case of it was just that he had more of a passion and more time and to continue that, and you wanted to concentrate more so on the writing aspect.
Yeah, and Jerry had a game plan in place, which I did not. You know, I'm a creative. I'm a writer. I put stuff out there and see what happens.
Yeah. That's what
we had it. You know, when we started talking, he was talking about marketing plans and scheduling. And I'm like, yeah, I don't do any of that. I just throw stuff out. I mean, I do now only because of Shelley, who makes me, you know, Excel spreadsheets. And I do my daily counts every day, and I keep track of, you know, what book, what the deadlines are, what book is due, who's paid me, who hasn't. I mean, all that stuff. Without her, it was just when we met, it was just, she would say, what are you writing now? I don't know. Just whatever I feel like writing today. I have a deadline in 3 days. I guess I should write this book. I mean, it was just so crazy and sporadic. But he had all that in place. So it was, for me, it was just after listening to him and saying, I am never be able to keep up. And I would feel guilty if I was partners with somebody and they were putting all of this time and effort into it, and then I was not because I was busy writing my stuff. And I do so many other things too, you know, on top of just my own, you know, I self-publish, but then I work with a lot of different press publishers, and I write for a Hollywood company. I do their book adaptations of their book coming out. So I'm always busy. That's why I always have 10 to 12 projects up on my board.
Yeah, so it was it made sense. It was the right thing to do, really.
Definitely. And the books coming out, if anyone's had them or seen any of the State of Horror books, I mean, they just look really nice. The story, and what's funny is going back and reading them, and on one of the books, I'm not going to, they're all great. All the stories are great. I'm very happy with what it was, but I've been reading through one of the stories, and I realized, oh, wait a minute, this was from the original. Because on some of them, he re-released books, like the State of Horror New Jersey. He re-released, but that was like five stories. So now it's 13 stories, and he's kept like two or three of the old stories, and he's had a rewrite on them. And so I'm reading the story, and I'm like, this is a story, and I realize halfway through, oh, wait, I've read this because I edited a version of this, you know, 5 years ago.
Yeah. So it's talk about you're here on this podcast,
yes.
Which is obviously miles away from you, but you haven't much podcast on your own doorstep.
I don't know about much better, but
much better.
I have a podcast.
Do you want to tell everyone about your podcast? It's Armcast.
It's Armcast, Dead Sexy Podcast.
You've got a tagline. I don't even have a tagline.
Yeah, I got a tagline, and actually, none of it was. I put it out there. I said I want to do a podcast, and I could not think of a name. And somebody just posted in, what about Armcast? Someone said, what about Sexy Horror Podcast? And I said, how do I put the both of them together? And there's the names.
Yeah.
You know, that had nothing to do with me at all. But before I did that, I had done a local M station down here in Florida. I had done a thing called Friday Night Writes. It was me, and originally it was me and two other authors, and then it was me and another author. And we did like a two-hour writing show, and we interviewed people and stuff like that. And I think for that, Friday Night Writes came from author Frank Edler, who was a listener. He came up with the name on that one. So I can take no credit for anything. As far as naming stuff, I'm horrible. But I started it July 4th of last year was the first episode. I had John O'Brien and Mark Tufo were my first two interviews. I tried two different, not just horror, but mostly horror authors. I've had two filmmakers on. I've had actresses. I've had people who have done nonfiction books about heavy metal. Really, for me, it's like whatever interests me. I'll have some wrestlers on this year coming up, and some actual musicians and different things like that. So it's the people that I want to talk to.
Yeah.
And I think what the cool part for me is, I have a conversation with them, and then I forget that I'm recording it for other people. Asking them questions about, tell me about this publisher or that publisher. For me, you know, I'm always looking for that next publisher.
Yeah,
and that
publisher.
That next
fuck. No, you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll forget sometimes. I'll start talking. Let me make a note, and I'll ask you as soon as it ends. Let me throw that by you because I can't ask numbers and stuff. Some people don't like to talk about that.
Yeah.
But it's fun. It's every. I put out a new episode. I'm up to 47 right now. I do some specials. I'll go to World Horror next week, and I'll interview a bunch of different people. My goal is just to grab random people over and just do some interviews. So the next couple of episodes, once I get back, will be with those people. And it's just, it's the people that I want to that I want to talk to. You know, I definitely want to have you on for a proper interview at some point this summer as well.
Cool.
Yeah, depending on how, you know, the rest goes, I mean.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, no, we'll be fine. I want another, an admirable, and this is just fucking unbelievable, what you do for the last couple of years with the authors supporting our troops is just an amazing thing. Anybody who knows about this will already be aware of the amount of work that you put in to authors supporting our troops. But for those that don't know what it is and entails, would you like to give them a mention? And if anybody needs to get involved as well, how they would go about sending stuff?
Well, it was started a couple of years ago, actually, by Joe McKinney, who I guess one of the leaders on a tour of doing overseas, or someone that they, he basically put out a message and said, "Hey, whoever wants to send me signed books, I'll do it." And I think it was like maybe he had 500 books. I'm not really sure, but it was a lot of books.
Yeah. That is a lot.
And then a couple years ago, I had actually done an interview with him for my blog about it, and somebody had liked it, and it came up, and I read it again, and I got in contact. I said, "Hey, are you doing it here?" And he said, "No, luckily the book is back in the States."
Yeah.
So I said, "Well, what if I do it?" Because Shelley, who we were just dating then, her godson was over in Kuwait, and I sent him a couple of my books. "Would you mind if I did it? And I'll just send him some books, and he can pass them to his unit." And Joe's awesome. So Joe said, "Sure." And I started Authors Supporting Our Troops. And as soon as I put it out, so many authors started sending me messages and how can I get involved. And I gave them the address, and they mailed me the books, and I put them up. I ended up that first year collecting 3,000 books. All by the authors or publishers sent it to me. And really awesome is we did author support t-shirts to defray some of the shipping costs. And I'm realizing this is going to end up costing me dollars out of my pocket. And people started, you know, asking about donations. You know, "Hey, send me PayPal money." People will throw $5 and $10 in envelopes and mail them to me. So everything got last year. And this year when I did it, you know, I do it for the months of the year technically, but I continue all year, so I'm going to continue. We're close to about 2,500 books, I think, at this point, and the goal is to break the 3,000 from last year.
Wow. And that's a lot of books, I mean.
The first year we did it, I'm in my office now. My office is set up and real nice. This was an empty bedroom when we had first started dating. We started dating, coincidentally, she just built a brand new 4-bedroom house for herself. So she let me use this back, and there's still some pictures on Facebook of the piles of books, which is about 4 feet high, and it ran a wall. And the pictures look great. When it came time to separate those books out, it was crazy. So we're using another room this year in the house, her office, and basically, as the books are coming in, I take pictures and I post them on Facebook and I thank the authors, and then they're just going and there's, you know, 20 boxes, there's 10 boxes on either side of the room, which is, you know, has random books in it, so I can, once they're full, I send them out and ship them up, and it's a ton of work.
Yeah,
stuff coming in and
it is.
Making right. Sure, you know, people know, "Hey, thanks for the book," and then getting soldiers is tough. And then, of course, the donations have been great this year. We're far ahead of. It's a lot of work, but, you know, I really believe in karma. That's why I do a lot of, like, the Summer Zombie Tour and things like that, because it's, if I help everybody out there, it's going to come back to me, and it totally has. I mean, I'm blessed to be able to do this, what I love, you know, full-time, and actually make a living and make a living doing it.
Yeah, it's when the ultimate thing is, I suppose, because I've seen photos of soldiers holding those books in,
yeah,
in, you know, the Middle East, wherever. That would be really fulfilling as well, because I was in the army when I was a lot younger. Obviously, I'm fucking too old now, but I was in the army. And only literally so many copies, generation copies of Playboy that get handed around that you,
yeah,
can actually handle. So I know that if, while I'd have been in there, I was getting these, you know, these deliveries of books, just thousands of books, or, you know, boxes of hundreds of books. That would have made a lot of difference, because it is pretty bleak in there at sometimes. It's,
yeah,
sort of, you know, sort of,
it's that, for them, it's that escape, even for a few hours.
Well, that's it. And as a soldier, you need that escape, as,
yeah,
you know, more so than anyone else, really, that
yeah,
getting into it.
For me, the best part is when the soldiers, now, a lot of this will send me pictures of the of them. You know, they basically give you two boxes of about, it's about 100 books total. And, you know, the idea is send it to a soldier. I don't go to organizations or anything. I do it all myself. So send it to a specific soldier, and then he passes them out. And there are pictures on Facebook, but most of the pictures, the soldiers say, because security and stuff, they can't, you please don't share the pictures, but
yeah,
they share them with me. And it's so awesome to see all of these soldiers holding up all these different books, you know, have been sent to me, that these authors have said, you know what, I'm going to spend my own money to order copies of my book and the shipping to mail them to you. And now they're, you know, they're overseas. And I've had authors from last year's event who have said that they've gotten a bunch fans who just read their book because it was sent during in some of those boxes, and when those people came home over the last year, or in these crazy remote areas, they just became fans, and they start talking and messages to the authors and stuff, and it's again, it's the karma. It's so cool that you're helping me to help them, and then you're gaining fans from them. The pictures are just so cool to see. Look and go, these guys are in, you know, and they're holding a copy of your book up. That's cool.
That is cool. As an author, it is nice to see somebody hold. I think I need to get involved with this anyway myself, because I've yet to send you a book. I'm actually saying on air right now that I have got to send a box of books to Armand Rosamilia for
this. I would think some of your signed books would be very cool for them.
We'll see. If not, they can use them to keep warm or something like that. just have a nice fire in the middle of it. It's fine.
Hey, whatever works. Right?
Whatever works. It's I'm not fussed. But yeah, I've definitely got to send a box of books to you for the next one, or just let me know after the show anyway. But,
yeah.
I want to get back to your writing now. Oh, if anybody wants to get involved with the authors supporting our troops, is there any way they can?
Yeah, you can find me. You can send me a message on Facebook. On Facebook, you can also search for authors supporting our troops. There's a permanent page there where I, year round, I will continue to post pictures of the books as they come in from the authors and tag the authors in them. And armandrosamilia.com is, there's always a bunch of posts. Just search. Or you can go on Twitter and you search hashtag ASOT15, and you'll see all the posts as well.
Fantastic. Do that, because he's 5 short of 3,000. So
yeah. I want to beat last year.
There you go. Horror writers, get on it. I want to get back to your own writing now, and what actually would you say are inspirations as a writer? Is it like specific authors who might inspire you, or?
Well, I think when I really decided that, you know, this is it, and I'm going to be a full-time author, I'm going to at least give a shot. But the inspiration was the fear of, you know, am I going to be able to do this? Am I worthy enough? Are people actually going to read this stuff? Because I've been published here and there over the last 20-something years. I mean, I'm 45. I'm an old man at this point. And at that point, you know, being over 40 and deciding I'm going to have a complete career change that I know nothing about. But my inspiration was the guys that I've read, the writers that I've read. I mean, you know, obviously, a big deal for me. But as I started reading, like, you know, back in the day, Leisure Books, you know, Dorchester Publishing, I was in their book club every month. I'd get two brand new paperbacks and just totally loved all of it. So John Everson and Tim Wagner and, you know, Buzz Clegg, I mean, Brian Keene was huge for me.
Yeah.
So all these guys were, you know, they set that bar so high for me that I just want, that's what I aimed for. I wanted to, my goal was I want to be mentioned in these guys' names. I mean, that's the goal for me now, is that bar is still up there, and that's the inspiration to get me there. And to be able to not only, you know, talk to these guys on Facebook and stuff, but to be able to meet them in person and stuff. I'm every year World Horror, you know, I've gone for the last couple of years. Like I said, I'll go next week. Meaning it's just become a friend, and I know I can pick up the phone, call him, and ask him a question about something. He answers, and he's just an awesome guy. There's so many awesome writers that I've met that you know, that, and that really just blows me away. Brian Keene was a huge influence for zombie stuff. I mean, he's the I always say he's the reason. Dean Koontz is the reason I write horror. Brian Keene is the reason that I write zombie fiction.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. I mean, Brian Keene, most people would, you know, the benchmark for,
yeah,
for zombie fiction.
I had an old girlfriend a few years ago. And,
was she an old girlfriend, as in, you know, it was a while back, or was she an old girlfriend, as in she was 75?
She looked 75, but she was like half that age. Wow, that was mean. I don't care.
That's okay. She's old.
Yeah, she's old. Yeah, she is older than me, so I can say that. She read one of the Brian Keene books, and she was one that did not want me to write. You know, she thought I was wasting my time. Go out and get a job, kind of, you know, work and just be happy working 80 hours of retail and being miserable.
One of those.
And she read Brian Keene, one of the Brian Keene books, and she goes, "Why can't you write like this?" And I was like, fuck you, you know. I know that, you know. But don't say that. I mean, that's just mean.
Okay, why can't you write?
Yeah.
Cheers for that, though. Mm-hmm. You crossed my mind once or twice.
Yeah. I've killed her in a couple
stories.
That's,
that's the reason why she's an old girlfriend.
Yeah, last couple of years. So we're good.
Is there anything in, I mean, your fiction's pretty, you know, fiction, you know, violent, extreme, whatever, anyway. Is there anything that you would never write about as an author? Is there a taboo that you would never broach?
I think it's the typical taboos. I mean, I've skirted around and I've hinted around about, say, rape.
Yeah.
Which is, the real, you know, there's no incest, there's no rape, there's no over the top crazy stuff like that. I also stay away. I've done a couple, which is funny because a couple people read, like, I guess it's more of a thriller, people, urban horror, I don't even know what that means, but there's a lot of drugs and drug references. I never smoked pot. I've never done drugs in my life. So when I wrote it, I had somebody who had done drugs her whole life.
Yeah.
And she was like, this is wrong. This is wrong. Oh, this is really good. And I had a fake through those. Some people will talk about it now. You know, their book's been out five years or so. And it's because I'm like, I didn't live any of that part of it.
Yeah.
But I tend to stay away from it because I'm not really comfortable. you know, with it. I'm not learned when it, you know, drug use or anything. So, but you know, I tend to get from stuff like that. But I mean, there's the first opening line in Highway to Hell is really over the top, and it was to set the mood. I mean, so you know, but then the rest of the book, some people say, I love it, and then there's a couple of really dark and scenes in it, but then other people, like bizarro fiction people, are like, this is crap, because there's you fucked us over with that opening line, and there's nothing crazy in the rest of the book that we're used to, you know?
Yeah, with bizarro fiction, it's a constant, there's no sort of lulling.
No, people who don't read that or don't write it, they think, oh, this is just easy, crazy. And I don't write it, and my hat's off to the people who can do it well.
Yeah.
Because you're really fucked up. But second, you're fucked up than the rest of us. But you make it work, and that's like really cool. Like I mentioned, Frank Edler, an author, he loves reading and writing bizarro fiction and stuff. And I wrote a book with Jack Wallen, Jay Wilburn, and Brent Abel. The four of us wrote a book called Hollywood Hellmouth. And when we started writing, oh, this is over the top crazy. This is like bizarro. And we let him read it, and he's like, no, don't say that. They will fire you for this. And I was like, okay, is humor horror? And he's like, yes, you know, horror humor. Market it as that, but do not go anywhere near bizarro on this, because it is not bizarro. I was like, okay, cool. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely one of the craziest I've ever had a part in writing, but it's not anywhere near a bizarro fan would enjoy, I don't think.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, I read a lot of horror, I read a lot of bizarro. I enjoy it. Sometimes I read crime stuff, so it depends. Depends on how wide people are willing to reach.
I know people who just read bizarro, or will just read traditional horror, or just read, you know, the thriller or whatever, and they don't ever deep.
I would suggest
you know, with the zombies, people will get pissed if you don't write nothing but Romero zombies.
Yeah.
If you deviate anywhere, oh my god, you got a fast zombie in this, you got a 1-star review. I mean,
zombies,
it's crazy.
if it's we have this argument a lot, especially with days later, and when that comes up on panels and you know, in conversation, they are not zombies. It's that constant, you know, oh, they're just infected. It's not even a zombie. You know, it's a funny thing. That's why I always stick to Romero and zombies. You know where you are.
You are with Romero. But I still love all that stuff. I mean, I still, 20 Days Later, I still think was a brilliant movie. And I consider it a zombie movie.
Yeah, so
and people will argue, like you said, people on panels. I love being in the audience or on the in a movie like that gets brought up.
Yeah,
and just so. And every convention I've gone to, there's always a zombie panel, and I'm usually on it. And I was at Mid South Convention in March, and I was the moderator on a great panel for zombie stuff. And I mean, it was just a passion of. The five or six of us on the panel itself is like, we didn't even need the audience.
Yeah. So that's the thing. You always get lost in a panel as well. It's like, you forget the audience is there.
Yeah.
And but yeah, zombie panels are always fun. And it's like, you're always arguing how one would survive, how another person would survive. And it's like, would you want to survive? That always comes up. I would really like to survive, really, because I'm not quite keen on the idea of being eaten and shit.
We did a great, there was a couple of years ago, I think the Winter Zombie Tour, and we had all done this interview together, written in, basically, are you prepared for the zombie apocalypse? And John O'Brien is talking, he's a prepper, so he's talking about the weapons and food, and you know, Mark Tufo's same. I mean, these guys are, in the group is all talking all these things and all these different weapons and the shelters and all that they have planned, and they can survive X number of days and blah, blah, blah. And they get to me, and I'm like, I don't want to survive. I want to be patient zero.
Yeah.
Because I'm too fat and lazy and old to really have to run or do any of this stuff. And in a world without M&Ms freely available, I don't want to live. And the interview went out, and 99% of the people laughed and thought that answer was funny, and it worked so well with the others. But there were people that were actually pissed at me. That I can't believe you would say that as a zombie author and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, seriously? Like,
what do you want?
I'm like thinking you're that person who's going to die first anyway, but you think you're going to survive.
Yeah, it's the ones who think they're going to survive will be the first to go. The dogs. But yeah, I'm a prepper. My wife and I, we prep. And this comes up a lot in panels. And it's like, there's a difference between the US and the UK. Most of the time, we sort of, you have a lot of guns over there, right? I ain't gonna beat around the bush. it's a controversial subject. So you have the guns, you know what I mean, readily available. I mean, over here, with the zombie outbreak, we've been fending them off with strong language and a fucking snooker shield. So, technically, we're fucked anyway.
But you guys also have that very, to me, you still have that 1983 very punk attitude. Anyway. You're just like freaking slam dance and beat the shit out of them.
Yeah,
and,
well,
you guys will probably do better than we will. We'll end up shooting each other trying to hit the.
Yeah. If like the last few seasons of The Walking Dead have proven anything, it's the humans are the most dangerous.
Yeah.
Now that the zombies are becoming more spread out. But yeah, now we'll just take a moment and just listen to punk music and see what. as a human being, which you are, what really pisses you off, whether it's in the business or you know, a lot of people. Say social media, we have this conversation quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
What really you off?
I think it's that Facebook mentality, it's that social media. I tell people every day on my newsfeed, I stop following people every day. Yeah. It's that mentality of here is my opinion, and I'm going to shout it and shout it and shout it, and then it's magically going to change everybody's opinion.
Yeah.
And it will never change anyone. And all it does is alienate you and piss people off. And I usually look at that, and I usually say these people that in their real lives, nobody's listening to.
Yeah.
So they think that I can go on Facebook and I can start screaming this stuff and post. You know, I always say if you love Obama or if you hate Obama, it doesn't matter. Whatever opinion you have, you just pissed off half of your audience.
Yeah, either way.
You know, as an author, you're never gonna, you're really never gonna post anything that everyone's gonna go, I love that, and now I'm gonna buy all your books. The thing that really pisses me off though, over everything, is the buy my book posts.
Yeah, that was fucking.
I dropped out of about 50, right about the turn of the new year. I dropped out about 50 Facebook groups that were all just promotion, and all they were was it was us. And I was guilty of it too, going back. I would post, here's my new book, or here, buy this book, or whatever. And then 50 other authors were the only other people in the group. They would ignore it.
Yeah.
And then they would post their book. And then we would all just go back and forth, and we would post books. And there was no readers. There's no readers in those groups.
No.
And there's nobody new to get to. And I just decided, you know, enough with it. And it. You do that, if you just post constantly like that, I'm no longer going to friend you.
Yeah, well, that's it. I unfriended people if they just constantly every post. You know, say something, you know, give me something about you as a person. Don't,
yeah.
I know the book's out, you've just posted it in 50 groups. Let's hear a bit about you as a human.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I think that's so important that authors, especially new authors, forget. You're selling you. You know, I don't know how many times I get somebody who I'll talk to on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, or in person, and then they say, oh, you're a writer? And I say, yeah, well, you don't post a lot about it. Oh, well, you know, let me see your Amazon page, or where can I get your books? And then I post, well, here's my link. And they go, you have 150 releases out? And I say, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's it. I'm not going to say, yeah, buy all of them, you know, because it's a branding, because I know it's a dirty word, but you sell yourself. I mean, I think that's the most important thing. On my website, at armandrosemary.com, 90% of those posts are about other authors. I don't know how many times authors will say to me, hey, can I post a guest post? Yeah, I that's what I want.
Yeah.
I don't want every day to say, okay, it's Tuesday, so here's my spam Tuesday about this book or that book. I don't do any of that because I don't think it helps and I don't think it works.
No. It's counterproductive, and you learn that very fast. If you're sensible, you learn it very, very fast.
And it just takes too long. I mean, it takes too long to just be constantly posting on social media. I mean, I'm on Facebook way too much every day as it is. And then you add, let me put, you know, 50 different groups, let me post on. I mean, that's another chapter I could have written.
Yeah, exactly. That's what you find. The people who don't post about writing or about their books are actually writing. They're actually doing some work. The ones who are constantly posting are the ones who aren't actually, you know. It's amateurish, and I think that's the best word for it. It's not the way to do it.
No.
Not going to change people.
Well, no, and that's when it goes back to the political post and the religious post. You're not gonna change anyway. I have my own opinions about. I don't care about your opinions. Why would I think that you cared about my opinion?
Yeah.
I know I'm right. So.
Even if you're wrong.
You know, even if I'm wrong, your opinion isn't going to change mine. So.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter.
No, and then you get a 250 thread post, and it's like, did you not hear what I said? It's like, right at the start, it's not going to make a blind bit of fucking difference. Anyway, moving on. What authors would you recommend people be reading right now? Personal favorites.
Well, obviously, I mean, I guess the guys that I read, I call it that, for me, it was the new wave of authors that I found, which, you know, the Brian Keynes and the Joe McKinney's and Jeff Strand is a great one that comes to mind.
Right.
Rest White, you know, Simon Clark, Gary Brombeck. I mean, I could go on and on. There's so many great authors that when I started reading right before I got serious with this were really helpful for me as an author to go, okay, realize my stuff is really bad and I need to up my game to get anywhere close to these guys. And that was fun. And, you know, I read a lot of guys, John Averson and obviously Tufo, other stuff coming out. He's, you know, relatively new author who has some really great ideas. Robert Chaz is another good one. Susie, I mean, there's a million, but you know, go on my website or go on my Facebook page and you'll see all the people I like because I'm constantly reblogging their stuff and posting their stuff and trying to help them out and get the word out there because these are the authors that I really like.
Yeah. And that's a good way to do it.
Adler guy, he's all right.
Yeah, he's all right. He's gonna send some a box to be.
You know, as long as you send them and then we'll burn them. That'll be good.
But don't burn them before they get to the soul.
No, let them burn. You know what? I'll let the troops burn them. Here, guys, read these or burn these, whatever you want to do.
Right. So, what's next in line for you then, mate?
Well, Dying 5 comes out. Middle of June, right in the center of the zombie blog tour. I'm writing four books with four different authors right now.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's four really, really different projects, which is cool. None of them are really in the same genre, which is fun. I'm right in the middle of a zombie movie, which they're filming right now, so I'm doing the book adaptation of it now. I just completed a thriller for them. So I'm constantly doing, you know, probably five or six of those a year now. and the movies, most of the movies, they just got a Netflix deal, so those will be out at some point, which is fun. I do a contemporary fiction series like Beach Reads. The seventh and last book of that should be out soon. Highway to Hell 2, after 5 years, I'm writing a sequel to that, which will tie in to a couple of the other Dying Days books, which should be really I do a horror erotica short story series called Necromance for Hazardous Press. And then I have stuff from Crystal Lake Publishing, a couple things I've written for them, for anthologies and whatnot. I'll be out. So I just keep busy. I think I have 8 short stories for anthologies that should be out this year, that are finished, that are just basically sitting, you know, waiting for. So
yeah,
always busy.
Nice to be busy.
Mm-hmm.
It is nice to be busy.
Yeah.
How can I find you? Obviously, social media, website, I think you've mentioned already, but we'll do it again.
Yeah, I mean, that's the main. ArmandRosamilia.com, and on Facebook, I have a Facebook page and Twitter. On Twitter, way too much, but you can find me at ArmandAuthor. On Twitter, you can find me there.
People, find him, send him your books, and he'll forward them. Check out fiction, obviously. And that's what it's all about. We've been in a lot of a few together, and I always enjoy your work. I'm sure, you know, one, you know, people will mention you alongside Brian Keith and John Everson, and
that's the goal.
That's fighting for the same thing.
Yeah.
But it's been a pleasure talking to you, mate.
Yeah, it's great. It's very cool. Finally, getting to talk to you, and I can understand you.
That's amazing. Nice. That you can.
That was when I interviewed Jasper Bark. It was the same thing. Am I going to be able to understand this guy?
I can't understand Jasper Bark. Nobody can. It's just like a little Yorkshire Terrier just pointing at you. Justin knows
that. He gets very excitable, which is fun.
I love Justin. But it's good that you understood me.
Yes.
It's a very strange accent. we got through it.
Yeah.
Have you got subtitles your end? Is that how it works?
Yeah.
Well, whatever works. Anyway.
Definitely. Well, maybe someday down the line we can actually.
Yes. I'm coming to America, but I'm going to Portland in November, so it's a little bit far from.
Yeah, you're on the other side of the country.
Ah, see.
Yeah, I was there last year for World Horror. I should have come there.
Yeah, I can only do it once a year. Yeah, like you say, hopefully I'll be over at some point soon, and we can finally meet.
That'd be really cool.
It's been a pleasure, mate. Thank you very much. there was a laugh then for some reason. They look tired now. It's bedtime here. Right. Nice. And I'll stick around. I'll speak to you after the show anyway. And then, so thanks for listening, if anybody's listening. And I'll be back. Hopefully next week with a different guest, yet to be determined. So we'll see.
I'm not like you, I just fuck up. Come on, motherfucker, everybody has to die. People equal shit.